You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
To a an immunologist?
Yeah, virologist.
A virologist?
Yeah.
Not a Scientologist, a scientist.
Yes.
We've got Dr. Stephanie Waller in the studio this morning. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Yeah, nice. It's great to be here.
Mm-hmm. Was your commute over here fine from the uni?
Yeah, a little bit wet, but it's been good.
Nice. Yeah, I biked here this morning and I left my bike out in the rain.
Oh, no.
So I was a bit soaked. Yeah. Unfortunate.
Yeah, luckily I was able to drive in, so it wasn't too bad.
Nice. We're going to be talking about preparing Aotearoa for the avian influenza virus and your talk at Umbrellos next Tuesday.
Yes.
About this topic, because it seems like you've been dedicating an awful lot of time to this topic. First, what I want to know is, did you vote for any sea, shore, or water birds for Bird of the Year 2024?
I did, yes. I did vote for the hoiho.
Oh, nice.
Yes, yeah, because someone else in our lab works on hoiho, so we were all sort of ganged up together and decided to vote for that.
Nice.
So,
it's good that took out the top spot, eh?
Yes, yeah.
It was very miraculous. It shows that, we aren't so ignored here in the South Island.
I know, and, it's obviously such a popular bird within Dunedin, so, may as well vote for it, yeah.
Nice. Well, do you ever have any fears of birds coming into this study that you've embarked on at the moment, or are you always pretty good with them?
What do you mean, sorry?
Oh, did you ever have any fear of birds?
Oh,
Or were you pretty chill?
Oh, well, sometimes, we went on to the Botanic Gardens to help do some other sampling, and they all land on you, all the pigeons and stuff,
yeah,
and I'm not really a fan of pigeons, but all the rest of the birds are fine.
Is that because pigeons carry disease, or just because of they might
A little bit
you,
of
or?
Both. After study avian influenza for a while, you're like, oh, all of these birds potentially could have the potential of harboring something, so you're like, yeah, but no.
The more you know, the more you know. Let's talk some turkey. Pun intended, I guess. Last December, there was an avian flu outbreak at a Moiraki egg farm, which really sparked some alarms for our biosecurity. Nice. 160,000 birds had to be culled, which is just ridiculous to think about. Has Aotearoa experienced a lot of bird flu before?
No, so before this outbreak, which is in, as you said, up just north of Dunedin, we hadn't had any highly pathogenic avian influenza virus in New Zealand before. Mm-hmm. We had had low pathogenic avian influenza virus subtypes found in wild birds, so that's sort of the less sort of concerning subtypes, so they don't cause huge deaths within birds, but this new outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza virus is the first that we've ever seen. But it was the H7N6 subtype, which is a little bit technical, but that's not the globally concerning subtype that is currently being sort of travelling all around the world with these migratory seabirds. So luckily we still don't have H5N1, which is the sort of more concerning subtype, but we did have a locally emerging outbreak of the H7N6.
Do those seabirds that carry that one that's been making its way, do they ever come around our shores, or do they generally stay away?
Yes, so the globally concerning H5N1, those seabirds that can carry it can come into New Zealand, and they travel all around the world, so they migrate thousands of kilometres. They go all the way up into China and come all the way back down into Australia and New Zealand. So at the moment we're just really lucky it hasn't come into New Zealand yet, but it's really important to continue surveillance because it could come any day now, really.
What makes these bird flus that are highly pathogenic, what makes them such a risk for our human health? Because I just don't understand how a virus can just jump from can this one jump from a bird to a human?
Yes, yeah. All right. So we have seen that over in the US. We've seen this virus, H5N1, jumping into humans, but at the moment it tends to be more bird-related. Mm-hmm. However, it has been seen in cows in the US, so it's jumped into cows.
Oh, my God.
And then people who have prolonged exposure with diseased animals, such as cows and dairy workers in the US, can become infected, and that's what we're seeing at the moment. But at the moment, it tends to sort of be more avian-related. Mm-hmm. So although it has jumped into humans, it hasn't then spread from human to human, and to do that it sort of requires mutations, but it hasn't had that yet, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a high likelihood that it could do that?
It definitely could, and that's why there's a huge concern around the world, but it hasn't yet, which is a good thing. Yeah.
Now, as we mentioned before, there's a big scary avian flu virus going around the world. The US is currently facing it pretty badly, and Australia had one pretty recently. I think they're still facing it.
Yes,
it's still ongoing. It seems like it's everywhere all at once. Is there any singular cause between those countries is it to do with, you know, industrial farming, or is it just because these seabirds just happen to have this horrible virus?
Yeah, well, we see sort of as populations grow, there tends to be more interaction between humans and wildlife, and, you know, that connection can definitely increase the, I guess, potential for viral transmission. But there's a whole range of things, even global warming, that can change, obviously, bird migration pathways, and then they could potentially be migrating into bigger populations of humans and other animals, and that can also increase viral transmission. But so there's a lot of work that's been done around the world to look into sort of those factors that are promoting viral transmission and host jumping, but there's still a lot more to learn. Yeah,
tons to learn, and that's why you have embarked on a study to learn more. You're looking at how wild bird viruses are transmitted, to see how Aotearoa could anticipate a possible bird flu, because it seems like this bird flu, as well as being horrible for our wildlife and for us, it seems like it would be the bird equivalent of the what is it, the marmorated stink bug? What that could have the effect of fruit industry, this bird flu could have effect on our egg and chicken industry, I guess. So to do so, you're sampling 1,300 birds using metatranscriptomics.
Yes.
I think I said that right.
Yes, you did, yeah.
That's the analysis of our mRNA. How does this lead to figuring out what viruses the bird might have?
Yeah, so we're able to, so as you sort of said, we collect thousands of these samples. So we collect oral and cloacal swabs, which essentially swabs up the bum, and then we're able to extract the RNA, so the genetic material, and then we're able to do a lot of computational analysis to figure out what viruses are within those birds. And so we were able to find not just avian influenza, but all viruses within those birds. So there's a lot more than just avian influenza that these birds harbour. But it's really important to note that a lot of the other viruses that they do harbour aren't actually pathogenic. They're just naturally occurring within the birds. So they don't necessarily cause disease. We're able to figure out, or the hope is to be able to figure out how these viruses are transmitting between specific bird species. Are there specific bird species that harbour more viruses? Try to get a better understanding of what viruses are in the avian species within New Zealand.
Is your background in a lot of mRNA stuff?
I've been at Otago for quite a while now, and I did my undergrad here, and then did honours, but I did it in tuberculosis research.
Oh, wow.
But I did my PhD with Gemma Geegan, looking at how viruses are able to adapt and evolve, and that's sort of where I got into this from my PhD.
Awesome.
Now doing my postdoc, yeah.
Does it feel pretty cool being able to use, I guess, real world stuff?
Yeah, definitely. It's really cool, being able to talk to people, and especially because it's so recent, with the outbreak up just north of Dunedin. It's really cool to be able to talk to people, and then being able to recognize that this is important, and the work that we're doing is so relevant at the moment.
Mean, if we face a really bad avian flu, you could be like, who was that immunologist at Otago who kept getting interviewed by the media? Michael Baker.
You could
be the Michael Baker of avian flu.
Yes, potentially.
Be
have
awesome.
To do a lot more interviews.
So what bird species are you sampling?
So we've got 33 wild bird species, so there's a whole range from shore plovers to fairy prions to albatross to hoiho, a whole range of migratory seabirds. So we sampled in the sub-Antarctic islands, which is really important because avian influenza, the high pathogenic strain, has just recently come into Antarctica, so potentially that could transmit up through the sub-Antarctic islands and into New Zealand that way. We have also collected samples from the Chatham Islands, and then through Rakiura and Whenuaho.
Nice.
And then also three of the four main flyway sites within the mainland of New Zealand. So flyway sites are where thousands of migratory birds come in every year, so we're able to collect samples from there as well.
And how do you get a sample from the birds? I don't imagine they'll give it willingly.
So a lot of the sampling has been done in collaboration with the Department of Conservation, as well as a few other individuals who have been able to help us as well. And the Department of Conservation were already sampling a lot of these birds for other reasons. So we kind of joined and tag team along with them. We use sort of different methods depending on which bird it is, but we can use mist nets or cannon netting. Otherwise, sometimes, depending on if the birds are land birds, you can just sort of pick them up.
What are they going to do?
And then obviously you swab them. But yeah, a lot of that is done by the Department of Conservation. Yeah.
Wow. What are the results of the samples? What are they showing at the moment?
Yeah, so at the moment, last migratory season, so last year, we didn't find any highly pathogenic avian influenza virus in any of the bird samples we collected, which is great news.
Yeah.
We did find one low pathogenic avian influenza virus strain in a red knot, which is a type of bird, a migratory seabird, in the Firth of Thames up north. And 30,000 of these birds come in every year. So there is the potential that, you know, they've obviously been carrying in low pathogenic strains that, you know, in the future, maybe high pathogenic strains may be introduced into New Zealand through birds like red knots. But yeah, luckily it was a low pathogenic strain, and we already have low pathogenic avian influenza virus in New Zealand, so that wasn't too surprising that we were able to find that. But it's good news we didn't find any high pathogenic avian influenza virus.
Cool. Is this kind of correlating with your hypothesis?
Yes, so far, yeah. But we've already started sampling migratory birds from this migratory season, so this year, and we still have to analyse those results, so we haven't got that data back, but hopefully, again, we don't find any highly pathogenic avian influenza virus. Australia is still highly pathogenic avian influenza virus H5N1 free. So because they don't have it, potentially we also won't have it this migratory season, but you never know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because it could come up through Antarctica and sort of bypass Australia. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know that your wheelhouse is still a science, so I don't want to get too technical on a political note, but I do want to know, do you have any like policy prescriptions, or do you think there are some governance structures that could come into play important role to help mitigate the possible impact of a bird flu? Could biosecurity be better funded? Do you have any opinions about that?
Yeah, I think it's definitely tricky dealing with avian influenza because it's such a one health issue, so it doesn't just affect humans, it affects birds, it affects livestock like cows as well as poultry, mm-hmm. can affect marine mammals, our native endangered bird species. So because of that, it is quite tricky as a lot of our government agencies target a specific area, like Ministry of Primary Industries, they're targeting, you know, cows and the health of our livestock and industry, whereas the Department of Conservation is targeting the conservation of animals, and Ministry of Health is obviously for the health of humans. So it's tricky to be able to, on an issue such as this, that's a One Health issue, trying to collaborate and network everyone together to be able to act appropriately in situations like this. So I guess in the future, it'd be great to see more of that. They definitely have, all of the government agencies have worked together on this issue, but it would be great to continue to see this in the future.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think that like a task force could be assembled.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. How long do you think you'll be doing this study for? How much longer do you think you'll have it in the tank? Another year?
Yes, yeah. So the plan is to sample for another year, and we've just applied for more. We're applying for more funding at the moment, so we haven't heard back from that yet. But hopefully we may get some more funding to continue this effort in the future.
Mean. Well, I hope that that goes ahead, because it is a very tricky funding environment.
Yes.
one could say. Ka pai. I appreciate the research. I think a lot of New Zealanders will, because it's going to do a lot of good. Yeah. So thank you very much. And you're going to be at Umbrellos next Tuesday, 5:30 p.m.
Yes. Yeah.
Mean. You're going to have wine.
Yes, a beer. Yep.
Nice. Beer. Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. Awesome. Well, folks, if you want to hear more about what Dr. Stephanie Waller is talking about in regards to the avian influenza virus and its high pathogenicness and how we prevent it from doing some damage to us and our wildlife friends, you can go to Umbrellos next Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. to hear all about that. Is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with there, Stephanie?
I guess it's not if, it's when avian influenza will get here, so it's important to continue to survey what's out there, and also for the public to be aware of this as well.
Mm-hmm. That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.